Praise the Lord. Love the Lord this morning. Amen. I went the other day and got my first COVID shot. And I'm waiting to schedule for the second one. They say that it doesn't really make you immune, but if you get it, that if you were to contact COVID, you're supposed to keep your symptoms from being quite so bad and potential of hospitalizing you. So I guess it's something like the flu shot. But I don't believe it's anything to be afraid of. And it's just nothing but something to help you. But let's turn to the Bibles to Proverbs 18:19. Brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask, Father, for your guidance now through the scripture, through the message, dear God, that you would anoint us, Lord, to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to come and minister to the people and be a help to them, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. May be seated. What I want to speak on today is emotional walls. Emotional walls. The scripture says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their contentions or their defenses are like the bars of a castle. It's harder to win back the friendship of an offended brother than it is, what the Bible is saying, then to capture a fortified city. You can, relationships are built on trust. And the strongest relationships are forged over time. But even it's pretty much common knowledge that trust that's been built up over a lifetime can be broke in a moment. And once it's been broke, it's really hard to mend it back. We are, as humans, I think it's kind of in everyone's nature to be a little hesitant or slow in trusting. Some may be worse than others. Some may have even more trouble with it, what I mean, than others do. But I think it's a kind of a natural thing with everyone that you may be a little slow to trust. But once that you've given your trust, then to have that trust broken or betrayed, it hurts. And it causes damage. And it's emotional damage. And usually what people do when they've been hurt is they build up an emotional wall in that particular area so that they don't get hurt there again. If it's somebody who's hurt them, then they're likely to shun that person, cut that person off so that person can't offend them again, so that person can't hurt them over again. But when it comes to family, it's pretty hard sometimes to cut somebody off. And so a lot of times in family, you get hurt over and over and over again. And one of the reasons is you're not expecting your betrayal or hurt to come from your family. When it comes from people that you least expect, your family, your friends, or someone close to you or in a significant other, then that you're not expecting it there. But that's usually where it does come from, though. Because unless you're emotionally invested in someone, you don't care whether they ostracize you or not. If you're not emotionally invested in them, you don't care what they think about you. But it's when somebody you're emotionally invested in, and then you think they think something bad about you, then that hurts. And it's our common defense mechanism to build and put up a wall. That's why the Bible says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Why? It puts up walls. One of the reasons that people put up walls is to manage what's going to happen next. The thing is, though, you have far less power or control over other people than what you'd want to imagine or what you'd like to think. So, you know, someone may have hurt you over a certain thing and you put up a wall, but then you're faced with a total different person, and that wall you put up, it might not work against this new person because they're a total different person. You can't control. You know, a lot of people want to go, well, if they do this, then I'll do that. I'll do this, and it'll make them do that. No, you can't control what other people do. You can only control what you do. So what are we supposed to do if somebody hurts us? Just love them. Love them. Forgive them. Pray for them. I've often thought, you know, if a dog bit me, why, you know, if I go back around the dog again, then that's on me if it bites me again. But that's a way of putting up a wall, actually, when you're talking about human beings, other individuals. Another reason people put up a wall is because it's an easy defense mechanism. It's easy to do that. And if you figure, well, if you cut them out, well, then they won't be able to hurt you again. People put up walls because they think it's self-preservation. But that's not really why the wall goes up. That's the end point of a wall going up, self-preservation. It starts with being either ostracized by other people or a betrayal. And when that betrayal comes from parents or children or friends or loved ones, then that makes it all the worse. The more intimate or closer the bond between two individuals, the less likely we are to think that they'll act treacherously or betray us. And so when they do, it hurts that much more. Now, we're familiar with Brother Branham talking about, of course, the five senses of the body. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And we've preached about the five gates of the spirit. Imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection. Well, those gates of the spirit, that's where we put up those emotional walls. We put up a wall around our affection. If we've loved someone and they just walked all over it, well, then you'll put up a lot of them and you'll put up a wall, and it's a lot harder when you meet another new person to say, well, I'll go ahead and love them. You have a tendency to think, well, I want to wait and see how this turns out. I want to wait and see what they do. We put up a wall around ourselves to prevent ourselves from getting hurt again. Now, these walls can be things like, if you say something to push my button, I'm going to say something to push yours. That's a wall. You say something to hurt me, I'm going to turn right back around and say something to hurt you. That's a wall. That's a defense mechanism. And you'll do that sometimes without even thinking really about it. It's just sometimes it's become a habit. It's become natural to you that if somebody says something against you, say something back. And I know that we're not all angels here. And I know we don't all come from angel families. And Brother Branham said some things can be passed down through families. Genetically. And he says, and we have to deal with those things. Now, we don't want to offend someone. Brother Branham speaks about the scripture where it says it would be better that a millstone was tied about your neck than to offend mine anointed. And so it isn't that we want to offend someone. And sometimes if your brother or your sister offends you, it wasn't intentional. Sometimes people just say whatever comes in their head, they think it's got to pass out their lips. In other words, they don't think before they speak. Just because something goes through your head doesn't mean you got to say it. I think some people, something comes through their ears and bypasses their brain and comes out their mouth. And they don't even think about what they said. And, you know, and then it could offend somebody. So we need to be careful what we say. And just because somebody offends us, don't try to offend them back. Brother Branham says in God's preparation, he says, don't say nothing evil about Christians. Don't try to harm Christians. Because you'll reap what you sow every time. Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. For it's far better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and drown in the depths of the sea than to offend mine anointed. So don't say nothing. Now listen to this real close. Don't say nothing about Christians. Maybe some of them don't live just right or do just right. But that's God's child. Let the Father take care of his own kiddies. If we go to fighting one another, God give us both a whipping maybe. Just leave the other fellow alone, pray for him, try to love him, and maybe God will help him. Somebody says something to you that is offensive, or like this particular quote saying, you look at them and you think, well, man, they're not living right. And they call themselves a Christian. Maybe we don't think it in those particular terms. Maybe we've looked and said, well, they live this way or they do that way. They can't even hold down a job. Don't be speaking against one another. You know, that old saying, walk a mile in a man's shoes. If you ain't walked in their shoes, then you don't know what they're facing or what they go through. I can tell you what, you'd walk a mile in my shoes and your legs would be hurting you. From some of my military days, I've ended up with really bad arthritis. And when I was in basic training, I broke my ankle, but I didn't want to tell nobody because I was afraid I'd get in trouble. So I just went ahead and marched on it and did PT on it and everything else anyway. And a few years ago, I went to see a doctor about my ankle. And that's when I found out. He told me, he said, you broke this sometime and it healed on its own. He said, you're going to have arthritis in it the rest of your life. And I have bad arthritis in my hips. I went to the doctor and they'd done one of those scans on me to see if I had any blockage in my arteries or anything. And they couldn't find any blockage there, but they did find I had really bad arthritis in my hips. It's what causes the pain down in my legs. And sometimes it gets so bad it's hard standing up here. But I'm not telling you those things are sinful. I'm telling you those things because just to show you, sometimes you don't know what another person's going through. Then we've always got those that say, well, preacher, you offended me. Thought you weren't supposed to offend nobody. Brother Bram says here, in what is in thy hand, he said, now, how many in this audience around here now, I want to speak to you. Now, this old-fashioned sassafras preaching may be rough as it can be, but brother, that's all I know. That's what saved me. I don't want to offend you, but I'd sure rather offend you a little now than get you right with God and know I have to stand there that day and you point your finger in my face and say, why didn't you tell me the truth? I'd rather have it fixed up now, wouldn't you? Have it all settled. So if the minister up here says something and you get a little offensive about it, that's on you, actually. Because you shouldn't get offended by the word. Of course, we know in the Bible there were some folks that got offended by what Jesus had to say. And our flesh sometimes wants to rise up against that, too. But you know what? I'm not trying to save your flesh. So you hurt my feelings. I'm not trying to save them either. I'm trying to get to the soul. And the soul that's born again of God, no matter how rough or hard it gets, will say amen. You know, we've got in every gathering, there's two kinds of people. There is spectators and participators. We've had a lot of spectators. What we need is participators. Get in the service. Take in what's being said. Scrape it into yourself. Pack it up. Take it with you. It'll do you some good. Brother Bram was talking to one individual in a prayer line. And he said, you've got a complex wrapped all around you. Now, that's another word for a wall, a complex. People build up complexes. It's the same thing as what I'm referring to as an emotional wall. And this individual, he said, you got a wall wrapped around you, a complex wrapped around you. But the power of it broke just a few minutes ago. So these complexes that build up to try to break fellowship, that's not of God. It ain't God building up these walls. It ain't God building up those complexes. That's you letting the devil into this spirit realm and working those five gates. Yes, sir. and try to block off the word and try to block off your fellowship with your fellow believers. The power of it broke just a few minutes ago. Just keep believing and press right on, go forward and speak. By his stripes, I'm healed. Now, he's talking about a person who's got a wall, a complex built around him, and he's telling, claim by his stripes, I'm healed. That power's broke. Stand right up there. Just go on and be well. Looks all light around you now where it was dark when you were up here. Now, Brother Branham knew what he was talking about when it came to complexes. And people having complexes. And he said by discernment, he would see when these people had these complexes built up around them. And at one point, Brother Branham talks about it in the message of Standing in the Gap. If you're familiar with that message, you know exactly now what I'm talking about. Brother Branham said he built up a complex because the people wouldn't hear his message. He said he would preach and preach and the people would just go on just the same old way, no changing. And it caused him to build up a complex. And he said he got to thinking, well, I'll just quit preaching. I'll tell you what, as a preacher, I can tell you it's easy to get to that place where you say, what's the use of me preaching? When you see people, you know, things not changing. And as humans, we have a tendency to focus on the negative no matter how much positive there is around. You know, and that's, God's got to help us with that. But he said he got discouraged and he built up a complex. And he said it was exactly like Moses. He said, not trying to compare myself to Moses, but he said, Moses, the people wouldn't hear him. So Moses, he said, got discouraged and went off by himself into the wilderness. And he actually, after a while, forgot the suffering of the people. Brother Bram said, we should never forget the suffering of the people. And he said, I've been guilty of that because I built up a complex. And he said, it's so easy to build up a complex. Sometimes the way people are raised, the way they've been raised or how that they were brought up, what they were taught, whether they had affection shown to them while they were growing up or not, or how it was shown to them, that's going to affect them and throughout their life. It'll take God for them to overcome that. I was talking to Brother Benton one time. It's been some time since I've heard from him, but one time I was talking to him and I asked him about a brother and his family that I used to know. And I hadn't seen him in a long time. And when the last I saw him, their youngest was just a little boy, you know. And so Brother Benton said, well, he said, you know that brother believed that no one could come in to bride after 1963. And he said his youngest son is a product of what he believes. He said because he just turned his back and walked away from it all. What's the use? Sometimes people in their family weren't ones that much showed affection. I'm going to tell you something. If your family was one of those that didn't show affection, then you need to change it. Because God loves to show affection. And we're supposed to be reflecting of God. So we're supposed to be people that will show affection. I had a person tell me one time when I was talking to him about some other things, he said, I didn't have a daddy like you had. I said, well, here's something I got to tell you. My daddy didn't have a daddy like I had. When he was growing up, his daddy was a drunk. Smacked his wife around and everything else. Didn't really show no affection. But my dad made up his mind that he wasn't going to be that way. No matter how much things were instilled in him, he was determined he was going to be different. My dad showed me affection growing up. Even when I got to be a grown man, after I moved down here, and I'd get to see Dad, and it'd been a while since I'd get to see him, he'd put his arms around me and pound me on the back. That was kind of his way. So people can change. You don't have to be a certain way because, well, that's just how I was raised. That's how my family was. Change. Look, I'm not up here to down anybody's family or to say my family's better than your family or nothing like this. This ain't about this. This ain't a contest. What if your family was a bunch of drunkards? Do you think that'd be your excuse to go on and be a drunkard too? I know that would have an effect. But Brother Branham came from a family of a bunch of drunkards. But he was different. So if your family has been wrong and you see things where it's been wrong, then just change it. Now, don't go back and start making accusations against the generation before you. Don't call Daddy up on the phone and tell him what a horrible daddy he's been. Maybe he done the best he could. Maybe he didn't have teaching like what you're getting right now. I know there's been a lot of wrong teaching out there that's been called this message. Wrong ways to handle things. And their focus was on the wrong things. So why am I preaching these things? Because, friends, look, you're not going to carry this stuff over into the millennium. You're not going to carry this over on into the rapture. It's going to have to stop here and now. Don't think I'm preaching down to you. I've had my opportunities to build up walls. When I was studying on this message, it was speaking to me. I ain't no different than the rest of you. I don't like to be hurt. Some people say it can kind of roll off of them. I have a hard time with it rolling off me. But I don't want to be somebody to hold a grudge either. Another reason why people build up walls is because of the spirits they take on. And some of these spirits, they run in families. And so it's real easy for a person to take them on, like Brother Branham said, like the spirit of pride. People gets full of pride. They don't want to admit when they're wrong. Years ago, there was a man I knew that he would say, I might not always be right, but I'm never wrong. They get on pride because they don't want to. I never in my life, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not talking down to you, until I come down here to South, I never heard in my life, well, they think they're better than us. Y'all got a complex with that or what? Who cares what they think? You are who you are. Whatever somebody else thinks about you, don't change who you are. And just because somebody's different than you don't mean they think they're better than you. Some people are different. For instance, in my family, we like to celebrate birthdays. Not every family maybe gets a big time into birthdays. There's, okay, fine. I'm not saying we're better than you because we like to celebrate them. Brother Jerry, why do you like to celebrate birthdays? Because there's something that goes along with it. And it's called cake. Cake and ice cream. I like cake and ice cream. So, you know, now, if you got some kind of belief, you believe it's wrong in celebrating birthdays, and that, then I think you've got off a little bit somewhere. You know, those folks meet down here on 46, I believe. They don't celebrate birthdays or holidays, and they don't believe in taking blood transfusions and all this and the other, you know. They meet down there on 46, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, maybe I got the wrong place. But anyway, spirit of pride. And pride's not always about somebody thinking they're better than other people. It's sometimes, like I said, about just not wanting to admit when you're wrong. And that gets in the way. Sometimes there's people that have a hard time saying, I'm sorry. Brother Branham said, he was talking about this one individual, this one young man. He said, it come from his mother's side of the family. Nothing against mothers. I'm just telling you what he said. This particular young man, it come from his mother's side of the family. They were non-apologetic and non-forgiving. And he said, and that boy inherited that. He said, many times in discernment, I'll discern a spirit or something like that. He says, and when I trace it back by discernment, I find out it comes from a mother or a father or an uncle or aunt or a granddaddy or grandma. Somewhere back in their past, he even talked about a spirit of stubbornness. He was asked a question, and questions and answers said, Brother Branham, I'm saved. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But how am I to get away from the stubborn spirit? I can't seem to break away from it. And he said, somebody with a stubborn spirit usually comes on them because they got a complex. Same thing with that spirit of pride. It's because they got a complex. A complex of maybe what they think other people think about them or worried about it. But they'll build up a wall And it comes from that conflict, Brother Branham said, a spirit of stubbornness. And he says, and that can be traced back by discernment into families. And he said, the only thing that can break that is the Holy Spirit. And he said, now, stubbornness is not of God. The only way to get away from that is you have to have faith to overcome that. If you're a Christian, you're a son and daughter of God, you'll never be able to just stand and rebuke it, rebuke it, and rebuke it. It's just like tantalizing a rattlesnake. He's laying there ready to bite you. If you just ignore him and walk away from him, he can't hurt you. So when you feel you got that stubborn spirit, lay that thing on the altar. Believe God that that thing is dead and you'll never have it no more. These spirits sometimes come because people have built up a complex. Some people are afraid of change. They're afraid to change. They're afraid of any change going on. But if you were bound by something, wouldn't you like to have some change? Wouldn't you like that to change? And the thing about it is, them walls that hold other people out, they wall you in. You don't want to get hurt, but you ain't going to feel no love either. Because you've walled yourself in. When you wall yourself in, you wall off fellowship. And friends, we need fellowship. We need to love one another. Brother Branham spoke about that he had had an interview with a certain brother, and he calls him by name, Brother Way. I had the opportunity to meet that brother and his wife when I was a young boy. And Brother Way, if y'all remember, he's the one that fell over dead in one of the meetings. And Brother Branham, the angel of the Lord came and resurrected him. Brother Branham went down there and he resurrected him. But Brother Branham said the reason he fell over dead because he built up a complex. A hard spirit. And he said something was said during the service and it caused that brother to harden up like that. When he did, he fell over dead. The message of humble thyself. Brother Ram said, if you want to get somewhere with God, never let an arrogant spirit come around you. Don't let malice come in. No matter what anybody does, if they are wrong, don't build up a complex against that person. You be sweet and kind. Remember, God loved you when you were in sin. And if the Spirit of God is in you, you love that other person when he's wrong. Just pray for them and love one another. Above everything, love God and love one another. Be humble with God around one another. And God will bless us. It's hard telling what he'll do. Usually when a church begins to get in numbers and get in a little bigger, something like that, they get away from the real thing. But we don't have that problem. We ain't got too big in numbers. But Don't build up a complex against that person. Don't build up a wall against them. Say, well, they're wrong. Well, then pray for them. Have you never been wrong in your life? Every one of us have been wrong at one point or another. And every one of us is in need of prayer. There was a brother one time, well, it was Brother Tim Pruitt. He come to preach up in Ohio. And there was a man that came and visited that service. And this man had been a brother at one time, but he had kind of separated himself, and he tried to go around behind the scenes causing division and things. And he done it more in one church. And the man actually became like a reprobate, to be honest with you. But he showed up for this particular service. And Brother Tim Pruitt was coming out of the back. And this man got a hold of him and said, I'm going to pray over you. And he went to pray. And somebody after that said something to Brother Tim about it, said, you know, that man, he's like a reprobate. Said he, you know, Brother Tim Pruitt said, he said, well, I figured I needed the prayer and he needed the practice, so I let him go ahead. Second Corinthians chapter 10 says, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, another translation that says arguments, casting down arguments. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So really what we need to do is put on the mind of Christ. When my boys were growing up, Jonathan especially, Jonathan got this where he wanted to do his hair a certain way, you know, and it kind of bothered me. Because to me, it just looked like you just got up out of bed. You know, it was this uncombed look. They just put some kind of gel or mousse or something in it, and it just looked like it was going out everywhere. And me and him, I guess I said some things shouldn't have said in the way I said them to him. And then I was talking to my dad. And my dad reminded me of what he and I had went through. See, my dad, he was from the greaser days where they, you know, they greased their hair back, you know. And dad never did get away from that. He didn't look like the world necessarily or whatever like that. But he believed in putting some kind of grease or something in your hair and slicking that stuff back and every hair in place and whatever. And I grew up in a time when you didn't want to put stuff in your hair. The dry look was in, what they called it. And my dad couldn't stand that. And me and him, we had words over it a few times. And I'd get to where I'd wet my hair down and comb it back the way he wanted it. When I was leaving for school, then once I got out of the house, of course it would dry, the water would dry, and then I'd have the dry look. Of course, when I came home, it was a dry look. But Dad reminded me of that, and he told me, he says, look, and I can't even remember what my age was at the time, but Dad said, you can't expect him to think and see things the way you see them. From his age, he can't see it what you see at your age. And so it got me to think. Of course, one thing I never did get into and is boys with sagging pants. I couldn't stand that. And I remember one time I took Nate and John out shopping over in Clarksville. And Nate wasn't too hard for me to get clothes for, but John, my goodness, it was a nightmare. Finally, I sat down out in the corridor, you know, and I called Meat on the phone. I said, I ain't never take him shopping again. I said, I'm having one more time with him in pants. And I don't know what was different about me and Mina, but Mina didn't have quite a hard time out of him about the pants. And I guess he just thought he could get by me. I don't know. But I really hate fussing. And but, you know, we'd tell him, we don't care if it is your own money. If you buy them, you're going to take them back and get something else. Because you ain't wearing them things sagging down off of your rear end like that. And that was a thing that was, I guess maybe it's still going on in some areas, I don't know. But it was a thing I know when some of our boys and Brother Gene's boys were growing up, man, all them boys wanted them baggy, saggy pants. And, you know, but then, you know, John said something to me that really kind of made me take notice. He said, well, I'm not going to dress like you dress. And I got to thinking about it, and I've changed the way I dress. I've got older. You know, when you get older, a lot of times you're more into comfort than you are style. What feels good, you know, and, you know, when you were young, you used to buy shoes, maybe if you could, according to what they look like. Now I buy them according to whether I can just slip them on or not. But sometimes you got to realize this is what I'm getting to. You can't expect everybody to think the way you think. You may have your opinions about stuff, but that doesn't mean everybody else has got to line up with that. So take that into account when you're looking at one another. Pardon me. But I believe we've got a weapons of warfare to bring down them walls, them emotional walls. And you can't depend on somebody else to bring them down for you. You got to take them walls down yourself. You got to be the one to venture out there. You got to be the one to say, I'm not going to let this hold me back no more. I get together with John not very often. We don't, because we're living so far apart. But when I've got together with him, I know how he sees certain things. And I know he don't see him the way I see him. And I know if all I do is focus on that, why, we're going to have a terrible time. And I just kind of like to enjoy my son, my daughter-in-law, my grandkids. And so I don't stay on to him. He's a man. He's got to make up his own mind, his own decisions. Maybe he's not doing things the way I would want him to. And a lot of times I feel like I miss out on a lot with those three grandchildren I've got. And you know what? I think about they miss out on a lot from their grandparents too. But I don't get on the phone every time John calls and say, "What in the world are you doing living so far away from us? Don't you know you're making your kids miss out on things with us and us with them? What would be the use of me doing that? That wouldn't accomplish a thing. It would just stir up contention." So you might not agree with everything how your parents do something or your kids do something, and I'm not talking about little bitty kids right now, I'm talking about adults. But there ain't no sense in trying to cause contention, because that stuff carries over into the church. You can't just take that spirit of contention off like you would a jacket. It, once it gets there, it's there until you get free of that thing. You can't just take it off and hang it up on the hook out yonder and think, "Well, I'll just pick it up when I go back out." No, you carry that thing right in here to the pews with you when you do that. And it causes hindrance in the church. Causes a hindrance in the services. And by all means, we don't want to get no critical spirit on us. Get to criticizing one another. And please don't criticize me. I'll tell you what, I had an individual one time that got real critical of me. And anytime they weren't here, when I'd get up to preach, I'd say, "Phew." Because, man, that got hard. I knew the whole time I was preaching, they were sitting there criticizing me. And I got to where I was like, "Man, I don't even want to preach when they're around." And I wasn't the only preacher either that felt it, so it wasn't just me. Brother Phil knows what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that against anybody. I just mean we don't want that in here. If you got a problem with me, then you're not going to be able to get help from me. And you can't think I'm led by God sometimes and not other times. I'm either led by God or I'm not, period. I'm not just led by God when it agrees with you. And, you know, when it comes to the church, well, you got yourself to think about, and I got all of you to think about. And I believe that how I care for this flock, I have to answer to God for it. And so I want to take care of this flock. That's why I make decisions I do in the ways I do. Amen. Let's stand. The CDC has changed some of its guidelines for this COVID. And the reason they're changing some of it is because of these vaccinations. And they're saying if people get the vaccinations, then it don't have to be 6 feet no more. And they're saying that if people get the vaccinations, why... they're working toward where we won't have to wear masks no more. That's what they're trying to go toward. And so I'm looking at those things, and I'm not requiring anybody to get those vaccinations. That's up to you, you know. But if you do get them, let me know. As we go along, if I deem it, we can, you know, take down the tape and off the mask, I can't wait. But I'm still looking at CDC guidelines because I'm looking for your protection. And, you know, and we got a lot of little ones in this church too. And so, and some of them are too little to wear masks. And so I got to think about that. And so just keep me in your prayers. Amen. God bless you.